Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas. It's Cofield and Company.
All right, here we go. Thursday, Stadium Swim. Nice, cool summer day. 102 at the pools at Circa Las Vegas. We're inside Cabana 7. You want to come on by, say hi, hang out. Don't worry about us. Got lots of attractive people hanging out at all the bodies of water here, downtown Las Vegas. We're going to have a full breakdown of weenies and bikinis. You know we love a good hot dog contest, and they just announced here on the 4th, the premium hot dog contest is now in the Pacific time zone at Circa Las Vegas with weenies and bikinis. Derek Stevens, I don't know if he came up with this one. I don't know if he knows the rules. If he doesn't, he's going to get lots of questions about rules from Adam Hill and probably have to go back to the organizing crew. They're not going to be happy with Adam, but we do want details. We want this to be big time, and it's all about everything's about the rules, right, Adam?
He's about to get grilled. Hot dog pun.
You do. Ooh, that was good. You guys do have a good relationship, so I'm sure
we'll see after today. I don't know.
It's always every time he comes on. There's always a little bit of a risk. Could all be over.
If he doesn't have answers.
Could all be over.
Yeah. It's over for the A's. They just lost our A's. It's sad.
A's in as losers 3-2 against Kansas City.
Yep.
You buying KC?
They're pretty good. I think they're kind of like Baltimore last year. Kind of a little bit ahead of schedule. Probably get to the playoffs and fizzle out, but
I don't think they'll make the playoffs, but that's also me assuming they won't add. Everyone needs to add. If you're within hailing distance, don't destroy your chances at a future. I know Kansas City's in a tricky position. Like, the Orioles were. The Orioles have such a good system, they could trade off a little bit in terms of assets, although I would argue who was the guy they traded to Milwaukee? It was a D.L. Hall, who has a good arm but can't control it.
Yeah.
Kansas City, I don't think has to sell the farm to add some pieces. But the reason Kansas City is out to a pretty good start, and they're fading a little bit. That Reagan's kid has been tremendous. He was an under-the-radar deal with, Texas? And this is finally the first year where we'll see if he can make it past 20 starts. He's always been really good. When he, when he pitches, Seth Lugo is one of those sleepers. Did he get his 11th win today?
Impressive.
I don't know if he got credit for the win.
Yeah, I don't know if he did. It seemed like it was 2-2 late, maybe.
Okay. But 10 wins on the year. He went out 6 2/3, 6 hits, 2 runs, 2.42 ERA, 8 Ks. 8 Ks. So 3-2 winner over our A's. Who's the star of the game for the A's, Adam?
No idea.
It looks like Geloff exploded today for
a single?
No, he had a home run. He had a home run, and his average is now, how far over 200 is it? He's back, yeah. I think he's 201. Got off to a slow start, and they got hurt. He was coming into the year, he was projected to be a 2020 guy. I think he had like 14 homers, like 15. Might have 20 steals last year. There you go. Random A's knowledge. I might have had him on a fantasy team.
Is he back to being white?
Wait, what happened there?
Didn't they make him black in the rendering?
I didn't see that
one.
I
thought that was one of the big controversies.
Is that a hidden story I didn't see?
Maybe. I could be totally wrong. I thought that was one of the big controversies that came out of Oakland when all the fans there were in an uproar. Like, they didn't even get the right color of the best player. Like,
all guys. Settled. Zach Geloff.
Yeah.
Okay.
I could be totally wrong, but it's just something that stuck in my head, which is hilarious.
Matt's not playing today, right? So they get back on the horse tomorrow. They're going to be at Chicago. I'm going to call this right now, the initial Grimace streak is over, and you like Grimace. I love Grimace. And actually, I forgot to tell the story yesterday. I'm pretty sure, I'm the crush of her life now, that the SO actually, significant other, actually told me in the past, because we talk about Grimace a lot, okay. That one of her first childhood crushes was Grimace. Which,
what?
Well, did you see John Oliver about a month and a half ago had a little Grimace pop?
Okay.
I was talking about him being, sexy purple beast.
I didn't know he was. He was a sex symbol.
I didn't know either, but she was into him. John Oliver made it kind of creepy. So I do believe the Mets are headed in the right direction and can get on a streak here. Like, you can get, and I'm not a Mets fan, but you can get a 12 of 13 grimace streak. And that'd be cool. It's a guy who I don't think gets the light shine on him enough.
Grimace?
Yeah.
I mean, I think he did. He had his day.
You're like, Grimace?
He had his day.
I'm sorry. I'm also extra geeked up about Grimace because, believe it or not, in our very small body of water at Casa de Cofield, we have a Grimace floaty.
Well, we know why now.
Maybe.
Yeah. It's a little creepy.
Turn on the camera outside. She's laying on it. I'm like, whoa, what's going on there?
A little creepy.
Possibly. But, it's not, you don't have to check on each other. I trust her.
It's a lot of, it's a lot of security that, to allow the ex to be around.
Yes. Oh, the ex, yeah. Yeah. Yankees. This one over yet? They are down.
11-5. Oh, boy. Top six. 12-5 now. Top six.
Well, afternoon baseball here on the 143-foot screen at Stadium Swim. Garrett Cole yesterday goes out, throws, what did he throw, about 65 pitches?
Yeah, four innings, I believe, two runs. Just look solid. Nothing spectacular. Didn't blow anybody out of the water, but I think a lot of Yankees fans can breathe a sigh of relief knowing looks good. Looks like he's going to be a contributor, and what it really matters is for the playoffs when they can get through the regular season. Well, you would think they can get through the regular season if everybody doesn't get injured before then, but in the postseason, they're going to need a guy like Cole, and he looks better.
I'm going to say something right now. It seems like they're very, very, very rich in terms of talent. They need to go get a frontline pitcher. You know why? Because the Dodgers probably will. Whatever the Dodgers will do, the Yankees have to match it or go better. I know no one wants to hear the frustrations of a Yankee fan, but this young Steinbrenner does not go for it in any given year. Now, obviously the trade for Soto has worked out, and he's on a 1 year prove it and try to get $500-600 million. But I'll give you a good example. Like, they found fool's gold with some of their pitchers. Like, Clark Schmidt's solid, but he's really a five inning pitcher, and Louis Heal has been unbelievable. Today he got trashed. So they went from a 135 favorite against the Orioles to 175. He went an inning and a third, 8 hits, 7 earned runs. So, and I'm sure they know behind the scenes, like, hey, we've gotten a lot out of this kid. We're not going to get the same second half.
It was a $1.65 favorite, and that start did not go well.
What a nightmare. And, Oriole had a monster day. What's that for Santander? Another home run? God, they have more guys who are like 25, 85, and a little above that. 25 homers and 85. It's like the whole lineup, though. Freaking Gunnar Henderson's been unreal. Another high draft pick. Santander is at 19 homers and 48 ribs. We're at, 73 games? So they have multiple guys who can go past 100 ribs, and then they've got all these young guys coming up.
It's a little more than 25, 85.
Well, I was trying to set that as a baseline. Where's Mountcastle? We're just doing stats on the radio. And Mountcastle, he's about that. He's 11-33 right now. But when you have like six of those guys, you don't have to necessarily have a an Aaron Judge, someone banging 45 home runs. Although Henderson might do it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's good to have a bunch of those guys and then a couple guys that far exceed that, and that seems to be what they're kind of doing right now.
So Orioles and Yankees coming into today, we're separated by what? Three games in the win column, so Orioles a game and a half back. Our aces last night.
They're back.
Okay, that looked pretty good. Chelsea Gray, back. What'd you say?
Back. It wasn't a full workload for Chelsea Gray, and I think you would look at the numbers and say, okay, well, that's fine. But it was more of the presence. I think it was like a this sounds ridiculous. I'm not making the actual comparison. It's Willis Reed. Like, the presence. It's like, okay, she's not doing much.
Wait, what?
But they were like, okay, she's back. I think the confidence leveled up. Just like when Willis Reed made the appearance. It wasn't like he came out and scored 70 points, but they were like, okay, he's here. We're comfortable now. I think the team started to feel comfortable, and you saw that early in the game, even though she wasn't on the floor. They knew she was going to play, and I think they were like, okay, this is our team back now. Let's play like the aces again, and that's kind of what they did.
Chelsea Gray, Willis Reed.
Yeah.
Exactly what I was thinking last night. I was watching the game.
Well, it's like the standard for being on the floor but not necessarily doing that much.
Right.
And I'm not saying Willis Reed didn't do much, but in the famous game, it was just his presence, really, that was felt. I think that's kind of how that was yesterday.
Defense still needs improvement. It was pretty good until the final 3 minutes. So it was about 38% until late in the fourth quarter. They wound up shooting. The Storm did about 44%. And listen, Jackie Young, if Jackie Young is going to be, you know, 22 points per game consistently, and she's had multiple 30-point games recently, she was great. So if they have Jackie Young and then
in a lot of ways
I was thinking about it last night. Chelsea Gray's probably not going to put up scoring numbers like she has in the past. They're going to need it here and there. But if they get, I mean, Asia Wilson's probably up about 5 or 6 points a game. I mean, she makes scoring 27 points look easy.
Yeah.
And then if Young's going to play like this, the distribution of the offense and points per game is going to change a little bit. To me, the biggest thing with Chelsea Gray being out there is everyone gets knocked down a little bit towards the bench. That extra body is gigantic, especially if she can eventually get to like 28 to 32 minutes, manning the point most of the time.
Yeah, I think it's more of the roles where, you know, Jackie Young, yes, she's thrived, but I think she can thrive even more in a different role where she doesn't have to worry about being on the ball and covering some of the people that she's covered. And same with Kelsey Plum, who has had to take on a little bit of a role in terms of handling the ball. She's also better off it. She can handle it. She's more than capable of handling it, but not having that ultimate responsibility, being able to just kind of work for your shot on the offensive end instead of expending all of your energy just trying to set the offense is going to be very helpful for everyone.
When I put together the rundown early in the morning, it changes throughout the day. I was like, are you freaking kidding me with this Redick thing? When are they going to do it? It's not happening. Like 15 minutes after that. It happened. Redick is the coach. We'll break that down, who he needs to have on the staff, what it means for the Lakers. And I think LeBron has a chance to do something that Michael Jordan never did.
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
Young asking for the high screen. She gets it from Stokes. Around and down. Vivian's trying to hang with Wilson. A little soft touch with the left hand. Oh, her versatility. Jackie Young, she just showing out right now.
Aces TV calls last night. Jackie Young with a big night. Asia Wilson at 27. Aces moved to 7-6. Thursday, Cofield and Company, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas. It happened, Adam. It finally happened. I don't know what the delay was. But you know what? If you step back for a second, can we accept the fact that it took a few weeks longer? Like, one thing, J.J. Redick got clear of his TV duties. And they interviewed him over the weekend. You don't have to hire someone immediately after an interview, right?
Yeah, for sure.
I probably overreacted this morning when I was, you know, no one saw this. I didn't tweet it out like, it's done, they're not hiring him. But I was ready to come in today and go, you know what, enough's enough. But that would have been a stupid move.
Yeah.
Now, maybe a week goes by, then we got some problems. Negotiations take a little bit. I still believe there's a bunch going on behind the scenes. Now, Rich Paul told ESPN yesterday, all right, the LeBron Bronny thing is not like LeBron doesn't have to play with Bronny. If he gets drafted by someone else, like, he basically said, Bronny's my client and I want the best for Bronny. So, like, he's not going to force, because he actually said it, otherwise I'd force the Lakers to take him at 17. Bronny getting drafted doesn't mean that LeBron is definitely back, and you know, Bronny not getting drafted by the Lakers doesn't mean he's gone. So I was glad we kind of cleared the deck on that one. I think that's all settled.
Yeah, sounds like it. At least that's what they're saying publicly. You never know what it could mean privately or behind closed doors. What is the negotiation like? But that's what they're saying.
All right, so reaction. We've talked about this a lot, so I think we've all given our reaction to the possibilities of J.J. Redick being the coach for the Lakers. Okay, now it's happening. It's official.
Yeah, I've said, you know, J.J. Redick unclipped is fantastic. The character. So I think that translates into being a head coach. I'm a big fan.
Did I see something today? Is it in clipped? I saw something today that said Kobe Bryant could not stand J.J. Redick. Like, sort of making a connection, like, oh, you're bringing in J.J. Redick, who, you know, one of the greats of the organization, didn't like.
Is that not
part of clipped?
It's not on the show.
Okay.
Maybe the last two episodes, but haven't seen that.
I haven't watched it all. You told me keep watching because as much of a villain as Sterling seems to be and V. Stiviano seems to be, that Shelley Sterling comes on real strong.
I just don't like her. And but this last episode, have you watched it at all?
I'm through 2.5.
Oh, this last episode, it was like, I didn't love the episode. It was like a lot of flashback. So now they're like, we're up to the current moment. Now we flash back to a lot of things. And then there's like a, try not to give away. But
you can give it away. It's fine.
She definitely, she's like, she has a realization. Like 10 years before all of this stuff that comes out publicly, and they're actually still together, where she's like, enough of you. And like kicks him out. And you're like, oh, maybe she is redeemable. But then you're in your mind, you're like, wait, 10 years later, she's right back defending him. So what happened?
I will say I'm having an issue, and the J.J. Redick part of it is pretty interesting, although it's four. I'm watching practice. He hits a three. I'm like, that's not good. Ed O'Neill doing Donald Sterling, the stuff he says is incredibly offensive, but Ed O'Neill's portrayal of him makes him look like a doddering fool, and he's almost, dare I say it, lovable. Like, I think Ed O'Neill is actually making Donald Sterling look good.
He's not. No.
He's just like there, because early on there's an encounter in an elevator, and Sterling wants Chris Paul and whoever else to sing him happy birthday, and he's just an old jackass.
I like whoever else, because you can't tell who any of the players are based on their portrayals.
I actually talked to someone who's more of a casual on this, and this is who it's for. So you and I ruining it by going, hey, that doesn't exactly look like Blake Griffin or, I mean, honestly, DeAndre Jordan, that is absurd. But the person actually said to me, they're like, oh, they you know, when they cast Chris Paul, it's pretty good. And I'm like, yeah, it's good.
The Chris Paul one's fine. The J.J. Redick one is fine. They did okay there. It's the opponents, too. I mean, we've talked, the Steph Curry and Klay Thompson, like, what are we doing? It's preposterous.
Yeah.
It's great. I mean, I'm enjoying it, though.
So Redick from maybe hated Clipper, at least for Kobe Bryant, to the head coach of the Lakers. This is not a knock on J.J. Redick.
What if the Lakers, weren't going to hire
Redick's him? The head coach of the Lakers.
What if the Lakers weren't going to hire him, but they were like, hey, you know what? This character on Clipped, I like.
You got to bring him in.
Really bad. He goes sure. to war for the team.
You know what? Add Rob Lowe to the staff as well. You can have a body double or whatever. Not even a body double. Looks double. Just a straight up double for Rob Pelinka. We know what this is, right?
It's an appeal to LeBron?
Yes. And I hope they get really good qualified assistants with a lot of experience. There's plenty of them out there. Jeff Van Gundy would have been interesting, but he signed a deal with the Clippers. He was working for the Celtics behind the scenes. LeBron, in essence, is going to be a player assistant coach.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know if you can name him that. I don't know what the CBA says now. I don't know what league rules are now. Obviously, we heard the other day, probably a lot of people didn't realize it, I guess I never knew his age at the time, but it makes sense. Joe Mazzulla is 35. You know, last guy to win a title that young was Bill Russell as a player coach. Which is funny, at 35, like, LeBron is old. He's old. He's getting in his 40s. My point here is I don't hate, because he's in such a leadership role anyway, during games and in the huddles, I think it would be wild, but kind of accurate if they named LeBron player assistant coach. If they can do that.
Well, we know what the Aces would do. They would pay LeBron the league minimum as a player and then pay him like $50 million as a coach.
What are you suggesting? That they've done these things in the past?
There
is no cap.
You always got to find a way.
Or the LVCVA would extend their deal to a coach.
The LVCVA,
we're gonna sponsor one coach.
The LVCVA is going to pay LeBron $60
million
to coach.
Yes.
And the team is going to get him under the cap with a salary or veteran minimum.
Michael Jordan never did that, did he? He never coached.
No, kind of.
LeBron can still coach. I'm not saying he has the ability. Like, he's, after his career, he could coach. Is there any doubt in your mind who would be a better head coach? Since
Redick.
We always love to do. No. LeBron or Jordan?
Oh, LeBron.
Why?
I just think. He's more relatable, I feel like. Jordan just wasn't relatable to anybody. And then the players, teammates, people around the team, like nobody.
I don't even think the guys who liked him are particularly fond of him.
No.
And the guys who didn't, and of course that documentary didn't feature any of them, because now a couple of them come out, like Horace Grant wants to beat his ass.
Yeah.
He's like, What? What is his story?
It's great.
Like, I was there. This is not accurate.
Yeah, even guys that like him don't really like him. They like him because he got them something. Like, he brought them championships and money and fame and everything else. But they're like, yeah, he's a jerk.
I can't wait until the names start emerging for, like, experienced dudes who are going to build the staff. It's going to be really interesting. So, J.J. Redick officially in the fold. We'll get your feedback up on the text line. Finley Kia text line, 702-364-1100, 702-364-1100. Make sure you dial the 702. Text on in. Give us your comments on Redick. Is this a disaster? Am I ridiculous in saying that LeBron is essentially an assistant coach, so why not name him an assistant coach?
Now back to Cofield and Company, live from Stadium Swim at Circa Las Vegas.
All right, rolling on, Cofield and Company. Summer of Fun is back, courtesy of Planet Nissan, ESPN Las Vegas, Lotus Broadcasting, and Planet Nissan, hooking you up with weekly trip grand prizes. Every week, next 8 weeks, we give away a trip. This trip for the week is a trip to Liverpool, England, home of the Beatles. It's a very Beatles-centric trip, 4 day, 3 night. All you got to do is text in, 702-364 is the text line. Text in the word cruise. Spell it like a cruise, not a crew cut. I'm not spelling anymore.
Or Terry Crews?
Not Terry Crews. There you go. Cruise. Cruise ship. Cruise is the code word of the day. Your chance to qualify for a trip to Liverpool, England.
Isn't Tom Cruise is the same as cruise ship, right?
Kendrick Lamar yesterday. He told us it was going on. And then you started going crazy towards the end of the show. And then social media was pure insanity. I don't know what the hell was happening.
It's nuts.
What's the biggest impression you got out of it?
The pettiness is real, but it's spectacular.
It's just vicious. And it's just, I saw someone put up like Brock Lesnar suplexing someone like 9 times in a row.
Yeah.
You mentioned on a tweet, imagine watching an entire arena call you a pedophile on beat. While some of the biggest stars in the NBA are dancing on stage like they just won a championship.
Yeah.
So Drake got it real badly again.
Yeah, he did. It didn't go well. Kendrick did a set that included, first of all, he brought out just a ton of other people, including bringing School by Q out, which was fantastic, and then Drake came out. Like, it was a tremendous show start to finish. But Kendrick's set was basically all of his biggest hits, but it started with Euphoria. So he started with a diss track on Drake, then did hits, and then dropped another diss track in the middle, and then at the end, he did Not Like Us, and did it to where the entire crowd was so loud rapping the words that he just stopped and let them do it. And then he started it again. And then it was over, and he did it again. And then, oh yeah, why not do it a fourth time? And then brought out just a ton of people who are prominent in the community. He brought out actually a cool thing, kind of bringing out people from different, all different backgrounds, but certainly people of different factions that have been at odds in LA, we'll say, and all brought them all together, including some local celebrities that are well known. Tommy the Clown was there, and then, which people are freaking out about too, and then Russell Westbrook, and my favorite part, DeMar DeRozan, who obviously is from the neighborhood with Kendrick and knows him and is a fan, but played for the Raptors, has celebrated victories with Drake, like was boys with him for a while. DeMar DeRozan's out there just dancing around as the entire crowd calls Drake a pedophile. It was incredible.
Did you already say this part? People were watching. Were there Crips and Bloods there?
Yeah.
Like separated on different sides of the earth.
He brought them together. That's what I was saying. He brought out different, different factions. He's okay. Like, all right, like.
Did you mention that specifically?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
I said it without, directly naming the groups. Sure. But yeah, brought everyone. It was basically like, yo, like, these are my people. Because Drake has insinuated, like, hey, you're just a nerd who, because Kendrick is a nerd. He is. You're just a nerd who just pretends to be from the street and doesn't really know any of these people. And he was like, oh, yeah? All right. I'm bringing everybody together, which was an incredible part of the celebration. Obviously, scheduling the concert on Juneteenth and kind of calling it on short notice he'd been preparing for it, but called everybody out there and said, let's go, let's do this, put it on Amazon Prime. It was an absolutely unbelievable event. Musically, it was fantastic. Also, credit to Amazon Prime. Like, the picture and the sound for a live show streaming was fantastic. Just fantastic. It was great.
Folks at Netflix may want to give Amazon a call.
Yeah. It was great. Everything about it was great. I was so excited, so fired up for it. And as you said, like, literally the entire timeline on social media. It's all
it
people,
was insane
it's
last
all
night.
People were talking about. And that's for a streaming event. It was crazy. But it was an awesome show. And by the way, even without the Drake attacks and the just over and over, like basically hosting a funeral for Drake is what was happening. Even without that, just musically, I mean, Kendrick's so brilliant that it was a great show anyway.
Hanging out, Stadium Swim, Circa Las Vegas here on a Thursday, just really getting rolling. Is up next, Xavier Pope, our attorney out of Chicago, cultural contributor, will chime in on what he saw with the Kendrick Lamar show and reaction to the Lakers' new head coach, J.J. Redick.
Psst, I see dead people.
Lawyer and host of Suit Up News, Xavier Pope, joins Cofield and Company now.
Certified lover boys, certified pedophiles. Wah, 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 wah. That f*** him up. Wah, 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 wah. I'ma do my stuff. Why you trolling like a bitch? Ain't you tired? Trying to strike a chord and it's probably A minor.
Wait, you can actually do this? You can do the lyrics on this? Hold on.
They not like us. They not like us.
Of course, now
they not like us.
That part's very, very recognizable, sir.
That's why the Vast Sound crew put that in there.
Well,
nice job, everybody.
The A minor line hit so hard when he just let the entire crowd do it and carry out the minor for like 20 seconds. It was fantastic.
Xavier Pope is in. Kendrick Lamar last night. A show for the ages. NBA players all over the place. How did you put it earlier? Rival factions came together.
Sure.
Okay. Xavier, how you doing, buddy?
Pretty good. It was amazing. That 3.5-hour concert that everybody and their mama was paying attention to. whether it was the sports world, whether it was the music world, entertainment world, Kendrick Lamar electrified the crowd with his performance, bringing out up-and-coming acts in Los Angeles, uniting the city, uniting gangs in L.A., uniting factions of hip-hop artists in L.A., bringing back old and new, like Dr. Dre and YG and singers like Blast, bringing out the Black Hippie crew, and then having running back Not Like Us two times, partially, four times fully, then a walk-off like a boxer winning a heavyweight fight. It was an incredible culture moment.
Yeah, I guess the cultural significance not only of the concert happening, and you kind of described why there, but the fact that like the entire world was united on social media sharing their thoughts on it, I think these are the kind of times where I love social media the most, and I think it kind of brings everybody together with, hey, we're all sharing this experience together.
Yeah, I mean, that's the value of live content, and I think that's why Amazon got the sports game, Adam. And so having moments that capture social media are key to getting eyeballs, getting subscriptions, and putting more money in the pockets of digital streamers in this era. And so to have Kendrick Lamar take the moment of a beef and go beyond the beef, there hasn't been a music video released but Not Like Us and hadn't seen performed the song since the song came out. To have that anticipated moment was an amazing moment. To have LeBron James, Russell Westbrook, DeMar DeRozan, and Russell Westbrook getting on the stage and dancing as Kendrick Lamar sings a song. No one has brought the Crips and Blood together this close since Whitney Houston in the 80s.
Wow. I didn't know Whitney Houston did that.
Yeah, it was another time that she came through in a concert and did that as well. So it was a really incredible cultural moment for not just hip-hop, not for just the West Coast culturally, because California Love was also being sung, and that was the official West Coast song. Sure. And it looks like Not Like Us is supplanted in the modern West Coast anthem, and to see that happen. And then see Drake, I know he loves social media. He's the one on social media, not Kendrick Lamar. So he has to, and his team has to be seeing that. Him and his team of Ghostwriters, they don't know what to do now.
Is it crazy that there was so much happening in that show and so many people were brought out? I was convinced, like absolutely convinced in my mind, once Dre started California Love, I was like, this is when Tupac's coming back. Like, Tupac is there. He's coming back. He's doing the second verse.
I thought that at some point Tupac was going to come out of the ceiling. He resurrected, put in his moment, just like the meme. Yeah. And he was going to be there. I mean, he brought the entire West Coast out. It would have been no surprise to see who would come out at that moment. It was incredible, Adam.
After we had settled down in some of the group texts last night and, like, processed everything, it was a long discussion. Like, what does Drake do? Like, what can he do?
The thing is that every time Drake engages, he puts himself further in trouble with the beef. That's where Not Like Us and Meet the Grams and these other songs. But Kendrick Lamar already said it in Euphoria, which it was as vicious to start the set with Euphoria, is that I already see you several steps ahead of what you're going to do. So wherever, maybe we haven't found the Kendrick Lamar lyric that says these things Drake is going to do, but Kendrick Lamar has already seen it ahead of time, and he already has a move ahead of Drake. So it doesn't really matter what Drake has done. No one has talked about a single song, maybe Family Matters by title, but not in terms of what impact it has had on even furthering the beef or being even close to getting even one point or one punch in the beef.
So we mentioned the NBA flavor that was present at the Kendrick Lamar show. And in L.A. today, it's a big day. Although I don't know if it's, you know, it's not a shocker. J.J. Redick, without coaching experience, is going to take over LeBron's Lakers. So give me your reaction here.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like good news for podcasters coming, getting off their butts and having a great podcast and getting a head coaching job. But I see the record of coaches with no experience in the NBA isn't very good. Steve Kerr has done well. Jason Kidd just came out of the finals, but Steve Nash was fired from his job. Derek Fisher wasn't good in New York. Mark Jackson wasn't good when he was marginally good when he was at Golden State. Vinny Nelnegro was terrible in Chicago. Isaiah Thomas, he had pretty some success there in Indiana. Larry Bird had some success in Indiana as well. But some other choices that didn't do well, Magic Johnson, Diane Issel, wasn't the greatest. It's mixed bag at this point. I don't know what J.J. Redick is going to do in terms of success. Sounds like a great basketball mind, but it remains to be seen how he's actually going to be successful with no experience in the NBA. I'm just intrigued what type of staff he actually hires around him. Hopefully experienced staff will maybe implement some type of system that he may be able to use with the Lakers.
Xavier Pope is on the horn with Steve Cofield, Adam Hill. We're hanging out at Circle Las Vegas Stadium Swim on this Thursday. A very distressing story to get into. I hadn't seen this one. I saw it up on your handle, at Xavier Pope.
Yeah.
What happened with the Wizards GM? I guess, what does it go back about? Not even a year. Bad experience at a Miami high-level, high-end department store.
Yeah, I mean, Will Dawkins, he's a GM for the Wizards first year. He winds up going, and it was a game in 2023. They're going to go play about Miami, and they go, and he just goes trying to go find a shirt because he's going to meet some high level ticket holders. It turns out it's going to be outside instead of inside, so he decides to get a short sleeve shirt, and he gets run up on by a security guard, a plain clothes tackle without no explanation about who they are, and he gets the police involved, and they threaten him, saying that he was someone who came and stole earlier with no proof, not showing any evidence, and eventually winds up with him calling head of security with the team and eventually settling that situation. And Saks Fifth, instead of suing them and getting into a lawsuit, Saks Fifth responding with paying certain social causes.
Your reaction to that?
Yeah, I think it's great of Will Dawkins. You know, he talked to his dad, and he talked to the team after the city. He just didn't feel good about it because people in his position that may not necessarily have the type of job as a GM may get targeted and may impact them. And so him using the impact instead of, hey, using it for himself, hey, holding those organizations accountable to pay into furthering social justice and equity in terms of relieving some of the issues we have in our society and moving past racism. So I think that he did a really great job of pivoting something that could have been a personal lawsuit to something that can have impact people who don't necessarily have the resource and the position to be able to resolve situations as quickly as he did.
And for people out there who, you know, over the whatever, it's, I think it's happened mostly in the last 5 or 7 years, is more athletes are up on social media or speak their mind at press conferences. When you have life experiences like that, you want to speak up. And I don't know, I find this whole thing interesting. I think there's two sides to this, as there is in a lot of cases. But Caitlin Clark tying her into this with Dejanay Carrington. One, Carrington talking about, hey, we're not going to be the league that's going to shut up and dribble. But she also tried to put Caitlin Clark on the spot and said, hey, your name is being used to justify racism, bigotry, misogyny, xenophobia, homophobia. When you see all this, how do you just sit there and not say anything? This one's pretty complicated.
I don't think it's complicated at all, Steve. I think that to denounce, and I think her initial reaction when she was approached by Jim Trotter about it was to say that she was nothing that she could do about it. That wasn't a satisfactory answer for many people. And then she was asked again, and then she said that, you know, she wanted to make sure to give credit to all the women in the league that paved the way for her, and that the type of treatment and putting behind politics for negative reasons or to dismiss all the different women in the NBA was something that was totally misguided and something that she didn't support. So I thought her, she cleaned it up well after not initially answering very well at first.
So where I say it's complicated is I don't think Caitlin Clark has done anything or said anything to have a certain legion of fans out there. I don't think it's through any spoken word. And I might believe her on the fact that she's not really aware of a lot of what's going on. Now, that said, I also have been someone in the past who believed that, hey, to make – I mean, this goes back – how long ago was the ESPN Top 100 Athletes thing? And I argued at the top of the list, I don't think Michael Jordan should be at the top of the list as most impactful, but I don't know what the parameters were. I think Muhammad Ali was the guy because Jordan chose to make money and kind of work down the middle. If Caitlin Clark just works down the middle and doesn't really get involved, I guess it's not helping, but do we rip her for that?
You know, though, I think it's a little bit different because she is a white woman. I think that Michael Jordan, how he was perceived was differently because he was a black man in a country with a history of racism. Now, you can look at Caitlin Clark in terms of looking at sexism and how to improve that in society. And that was, the big talk in the WNBA was about equal pay and was about improving the salaries of players so they don't go overseas and get into a situation like Brittany Griner. Well, isn't that what she's doing by the fact that she is increasing the amount of value that amount of eyeballs towards games with the recent game versus the sky over 3 million people where 3 million people watch her and Angel Reese sits to play. I just saw a report that the tickets are going from upwards of $9,000 for the game that's going to be played with them on Sunday. And so maybe that is the way she impacts the game in terms of how it impacts the women of that game. They pay more to be able to have more equity than they have their male counterparts in the NBA.
ESPN's David Dennis on this subject said Clark's become an avatar for people to express their disdain for black women and how a bunch of so-called patriots are going to treat Team USA this summer. We've already seen this with the men's team. Adam and I talked about this at length back around 2004, 2005, 2006, and shortly after that. We'd go out to bars and we'd see people rooting against Team USA. I've already seen the stuff about Brittany Griner starting to build back up again, that how dare she represents the USA. This is going to be a bit of a firestorm. I'm not sure what Caitlin Clark's role in this is, but get ready. There's going to be people rooting for other countries against Team USA women.
That's despicable. I mean, I think it's hypocrisy because it's a certain politics of this country that hides behind white grievance politics. And so they put their patriotism only in what they look like, not in the totality of what makes up the multifaceted aspect of what America looks like and the people, how people love and how people live. And so, and then why would you be rooting for another country and then claim yourself to be such a proud American? I think it's despicable. I think it's hypocritical and the worst type of representation of what we consider to be real Americans.
Adam, you're quiet. There's a lot here. On the front end, do you think Caitlin Clark needs to come out with something more pointed, direct on what some of her fan base is?
No, I mean, her whole thing is like, I'm just not listening to anything anybody says about anything. If that's true, that's fine. I think where it becomes complicated is because we haven't seen any evidence of this. So I think we're almost speaking hypothetically. But if there is a large faction, let's say, of you know, overt racist or white supremacist or those sorts of people that start holding her up and really start, you know, making her their symbol and their favorite athlete and rallying around her, like, and you're, you know, you're taking the money from those jersey sales and not directly exploiting it, not even directly welcoming it. But at some point, if that is the case, is there a responsibility? Like, to me, I would feel there is, to say, like, hey, I don't want you buying my stuff. But at the same time, if your entire character is going to be, hey, I'm not listening to positive, negative, anything. I'm not on social media. I'm out of it. I'm just playing basketball. I think you can kind of excuse that. And we also, I'm just saying that hypothetically, because we haven't directly seen evidence of that. But if that was the case, that's where it becomes complicated to me.
I think it really depends on what Caitlin Clark decides to do with her career. She's a rookie in the WNBA. She hasn't played a full season. And now the weight of the league and the weight of social politics and election politics is being thrown on her lap. And she's still a young woman, and she still has a long career ahead of her to make choices. And I think it's important that she has the opportunity to make choices that may not necessarily be the best choices in her career as a person. And so she's still learning this along the way. She has a league and her and Angel Reese on their backs to be able to lift the sport up to a different height. And it's give her a little bit of grace to be able to kind of fill into the role. Not every star automatically becomes camera ready to give all the perfect comments, perfect social statements, the perfect way to navigate the different things that may come at them. And I think Caitlin Clark is a unique position as any in our sport. And if any white stars that come along in the WNBA, not any have come along like Caitlin Clark, that have had to deal with the weight of people are spewing their politics on race and culture on one another, and having her to have to answer to maybe every twist and turn along the way with every single game and every single hard foul and a debate over whether it's flagrant or not or whether anyone should even touch her at all.
We got about 30 seconds left. We're real tight here, but in closing, you want to mention or have anything to say about Willie Mays passing at 93 years old and the icon that he was?
Incredible stats. I mean, he did all the different things. He did 660 home runs. And one of the few players that ever hit 50 home runs and 20 triples in a season, the only. And then at the same time, did all that and then served in the Army for 2 years. How can you imagine how many more of his stats could have been increased by the fact he would have played the whole entire time? And he did get a chance to see the Negro Leagues stats get put in Major League Baseball. So that was a proud moment for at least him to see before he left.
Xavier, have a good weekend, buddy. We love you.
Love you guys.
There he is, Xavier Pope. Yeah, the Caitlin Clark stuff is nuts up online.
Wow.
It is crazy. He kind of slipped in there the almost game-by-game debates over hard fouls against her. I'm like, this is crazy. But, you know, you gave us a heads up. A lot of these people are not basketball fans. They're not accustomed to watching basketball. They're not accustomed to watching women's basketball. And I'll say it a million times. When you treat women like this with kid gloves and have special rules, you're actually not really giving them credit that they deserve. I'm sure that a lot of them are getting mad about it.